for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you for your power that is working in homes, making all things possible. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace that is enough for us to succeed, to prosper, and to be victorious. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for your guidance and helps. We always get every time we need them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for frustrating the agenda of the enemy that way against us. Thank you for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us examples of your character, examples of your nature on earth. Thank you also for making us examples of those who have experienced God's faithfulness. Thank you for making us examples of those who have been free, who have been freed from sin and captivities of darkness. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you have taught us in times past on this platform of Bible study class. We thank you because we are not the same anymore for your revelations and truths have changed our lives. Thank you, Lord. I am asking that as we will be spending some time in your presence again this night, this evening, to lean at your feet, Lord, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Let everyone be blessed. And let us not be forgetful of those things you will teach us today. Don't let us forget them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you will do that we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. You know that we have been looking at part 5 of our teaching series. Part 5 says, discerning the realm of God and his angels. And we are going to look at the next topic, or the next point, which says angels are in all spiritual gifts. Remember that last Tuesday we talked on angels are very close to prayer warriors. Yeah, maybe I will start asking questions. Yeah, maybe I'll start next Tuesday. Yeah, because I noticed that some of you are very forgetful of the things that we learned here. You easily forget the things that we learn. So I think from next Tuesday, I'll be asking questions, and I can even mention names. That is, I will ask questions and I will mention the name of the person that should answer. Yeah, and you will type your answer at the text session, the chat section of this hub, which I believe all of you know that place. You will click on more. You click on more, and then you're going to see chat. Or I don't know how it appears on your side, but you know that place on your hub, on this hub that we are using, you know where it says you should type or chat, if you send a chat or a message. Yeah, so when I ask questions based on what we have studied, what we studied last, when I ask questions, you are going to type the answers. Yeah, it will help. It will help you to be more diligent. Yeah, so I think I'm going to start next Tuesday. So you should get ready. Make sure that everything I have said today, you jot them down and you go over them. I mean, everything I will say today, make sure you jot them down and you go over them. Yeah, so that by the time I ask questions next Tuesday, you'll be able to answer. Yeah. I think that will help build your diligence. Yeah. Because there's no teacher that wants to labor in vain. Yeah, but I'm not the one teaching, is the Lord. But he has committed the assignment to. So I have to do it well. Yeah, so from next Tuesday, we start by asking questions based on what we discussed last, which means whatever we discussed today, expect questions next Tuesday from whatever I teach today. So I'm going to start asking questions, and you have to answer based on how you understood based on how you understand the teaching. So we're going to move to the next topic or the next point. No, there's no test. Yeah. is not, if I'm training, I can actually give assignments and even tests. Yeah, it's a study class. Yeah, of course, also a kind of training, but if I'm doing intense training, maybe I'm teaching people who are into ministry, people who have the call of God to do ministry. If I'm teaching those people, yeah, then that would be a training. Yeah, but this is more like a Bible study or discipleship class. Yeah, so like, if I'm teaching those who are ministers or have the call of God on their lives to go into ministry, then there will be assignments, there will be tests, exams. Yeah, but I'm not doing that yet. Yeah. So the questions are just going to be like a review of whatever we have studied. And I'm not even going, I won't go to all that I have taught from part one of this teaching. I don't want to stress you. I will just start asking questions based on whatever we studied last. Yeah, so like next Tuesday I will ask questions based on what we have studied today or what we have discussed today. Yeah, so that's how we'll be doing it. It's more like a revision or a review. Yeah, that's how it's going to be. So now, today's topic says angels have in all spiritual gifts. Angels are in all spiritual gifts. Let us read from 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Verse 4-7. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Verse 4-7. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Yeah, angels are in all spiritual gifts. So which means that to have a spiritual gift is to have an angel working with you. Every spiritual gift are connected to specific angels or certain angels. Yeah, so there are angels assigned to make the manifestation of spiritual gifts easy for us in the body of Christ. So without angelic involvement, manifesting spiritual gifts will not be easy. can't be his. And the reason is because the human nature has a lot of weaknesses. Yeah, and then God wants to pass messages across through a vessel that is so weak and full of all forms of limitations. So there have to be some external support for such a vessel to manifest spiritual gifts on earth. Yeah, maybe I should start from what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are tools through which the Holy Spirit carry out his operations on earth. Spiritual gifts are tools, like instruments or weapons, through which the Holy Spirit carries out his operations on earth, or through which the Holy Spirit carries out God's operations on earth, or the operations of God's kingdom on earth. So those are spiritual gifts. Yeah, so which means that it's all about God and his operations. Spiritual gifts are all about God and his operations on earth. It has nothing to do with any other thing, but that God has some things he wants to do on earth, and then he wants to use people to accomplish it. He wants to use human beings to accomplish those things he wants to do on earth. Yeah, so in order for him to use human beings to accomplish those things he wants to do on earth, he's going to give human beings spiritual gifts. Yeah. So that's the first definition. Another definition of spiritual gifts is a divine stamp. You know, stamp. Like when you pass some documents, maybe to the chief executive officer of a company, and the CEO of that company need to stamp that document, more like put the company's seal on the document, to give the document a legal backing or a legal authority. Yeah. So that kind of that form of stamping things. You stamp something to give it an authority. Yeah, spiritual gifts are also like that. They are like the stamp of heaven upon the life of a man to carry out a duty for God on earth. Yeah. out an assignment for God in the earth. Yeah. So which means that as long as that person has that stamp or seal, he will always do that to which he has been authorized to do by God. Even if that person seems to do some, or seems to going, how do I say it now? Even if that person that has that stamp on him or her seems to be found doing something that looks sinful, like the case of Samson, I believe some of you know the story of Samson. Despite the immoral lifestyle of Samson, he was still being used mightily by God. I believe you know the story. Despite that, he has this spirit of fornication or sexual immorality with him. Yeah, we know, apart from the fact that he wanted to marry a Philistine woman, yeah, he has this spirit of lust in himself. You know, there was a case where he just entered into a place, saw an harlot, slept with the harlot, and just went on his way. Yeah, so he has that spirit of fornication in himself. I'm talking about Samson. So though there's a stamp of God on his life, that stamp did not leave even when he committed sexual immorality. Even when he went to go and marry a Gentile woman, which is against the law of God. Yeah, though the Bible says that God allowed that so that he could create an offensive situation that would cause a fight between Samson and the Philistines. Yeah, but sin is sin. Whether God allowed it or not, sin is sin. Yeah, sin is sin. So, we found Samson committing sins, but yet the stamp of heaven remained on his life. It was when they cut off that stamp. Yeah, because that stamp was in the locks of his hair. That was the seal of God on his life. As long as those locks are on his head, those locks of hair are on his head, the Spirit of God will always come upon him. The power of God will always move him, or move through him to do mighty things. Yeah, so it was when they removed the locks on Samson's head, that was when the Spirit left him. But when he was committing sins, any other sin, the Spirit did not leave him. So that gives us clarity on people who we celebrate today as great men of God and great women of God, who have great anointing of God on their lives, and who are operating powerfully in diverse kinds of spiritual gifts from God. forget some of them, they have a secret life of secret sins. Even some of them, they commit sins that are no longer secret. But yet, they still function in powerful spiritual gifts that are from God. Of course, there are spiritual gifts that are not from God. I'm talking about people who still function in spiritual gifts that are from God today. But they are living in sin. Yeah, and the fact that they are living in sin doesn't make those gifts to leave them. Yeah, so the case of Samson is a good way to really understand why God did not stop using those men and women of God to work miracles despite the sinful life they are living. Though some of them, there are some things they cannot do, because they know that once they do those things, they will lose those gifts. Yeah, but they still could do many sinful things, and yet those gifts did not leave them. Yeah, just as Samson did several sinful things, and the Spirit of God did not leave him. But it was until when he did one sin that should not be done, which is if you don't expose the secret of his power to the enemy. Yeah, when he committed that one sin, that was his end. Yeah, I hope you understand my point. So, spiritual gifts can also be defined as a stamp of God upon the life of a man, authorizing that man to do some things for God on earth. And sometimes that authority might be so strong, can be so strong, that the person could do those things as though he is God. He would do powerful things on earth as though he is God. Like the case of Elijah and Elisha. Yeah, you will see what those men did. They did things that they were not even praying. They were not saying, God, please do this now. Let this miracle happen now. No. They just did the miracle themselves, because they already have the authority. So they did it themselves. I don't know if you're getting my point. They did it just the way angels will go out and do things for God, because they have been given the power. So these men, like Elijah, they did miracles themselves because they have been authorized to do it. So they did not say, God, in your mercy, do this for this person now. They did it. They don't have to pray because they have the power to do it. So they just do it. I hope you understand. Yeah, so that is how spiritual gifts can be so strong in the life of a man. And that man can do mighty things for God on earth. So that is our definition, or definitions of spiritual gifts. Now, you might want to ask that, is there any difference between spiritual gifts and anointing? Is there any difference between having spiritual gifts and having the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Of course, there's difference. The anointing is like a platform through which the spiritual gifts function. The anointing is like the anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And, or maybe I should use the word, the vehicle that carries the spiritual gifts and the vehicle that manifests it. So it's more like a river. And then you all, let me use an example. Yeah, this is a very good example. If you have ever been to an hospital, and then the doctor said, I'm going to give a drug to this patient, but I'm going to put that drug in a fluid, like normal saline, dextrose saline. But these are medical terms you might not understand. You know those are those fluids that they hang up after they have created an opening to the vein of a patient. Yeah, we call them IV fluids. Those fluids that after they have created an opening into the vein, and then they put those fluid up, and through the catheter they now attach the fluid into the person's vein, so such that the fluid starts running into the person's bloodstream through the person's vein. Yeah. So, and then the doctor says, I have to create that opening to this person's vein, and I have to run the fluid through, because I'm going to put the drug inside the fluid. Yeah, so you can call that fluid the anointing. Now the drug that is being put in the fluid, you can call it spiritual gifts. So, because sometimes some people, they get confused about the anointing and spiritual gifts. Yeah, so spiritual gifts, they are inside the anointing. So the anointing carries it. Yeah, the anointing carries it and manifest it. So if you have the gifts of healings, for instance, you also need to pray for the healing anointing. Yeah, I know this kind of teachings is actually for I teach this kind of things to people that are in ministry. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong in me saying them, because I believe some of you have the call of God to do ministry. Yeah, so that is why I'm taking my time to mention it. Otherwise, I'm not supposed to be going into the details. Yeah, but since we are dealing with something that has to do with ministry, that is why I'm taking my time. So now, I was saying, if let's say you have the gifts of healings, you need to morning and night. Also, because it is the healing anointing that will carry the gifts of healing to heal the people. Yeah, it's more like the gift of healing is more like you have been a raw material. So the healing anointing process the raw material into a form that can easily enter into people and produce healing in their bodies. Yeah, but let's say you don't yet have the healing anointing, you can also use faith to minister that gift of healing. Yeah, but you might not be able to heal many people through just faith alone. But when you have the anointing, the healing anointing, you can heal many people through the healing anointing. Just by waving your hand, hundreds of people can be healed instantly. Just by you waving your hand. You have, because you have the anointing. And inside that anointing are the gifts of healings. Yeah. So I hope you can see the difference now. Now, let's say you also have the gift of prophecy. You need to pray for the prophetic anointing. Yeah, so that when you give prophecies, it will come in a way that the people will understand. And it will be powerful. It will be able to lead people to repentance. Your prophets will be able to lead people to God, strengthen their faith. And not only that, your prophecy will be able to come to pass when it carries anointing. Yeah, so the anointing makes the spiritual gifts succeed and do great exploits. So the anointing is the vehicle that carries carries spiritual gifts to do mighty things in the earth. Yeah, so, and it is through prayers and fasting that God, and of course through faith also, that God will begin to release his anointing upon your life. And the feeling of the anointing might be the same. But what is inside the anointing are not the same. I believe you know that. The feeling of the anointing, like when the anointing comes upon a man, sometimes you feel electrified. And you start vibrating. Just like you vibrate if you touch a naked electric wire. Yeah, so the feeling can be the same. But what is inside is not always the same. So some people, they don't yet have the gift for something. How do I explain it now? Okay, let me put it this way. Some people, they have the anointing. And what God has put in that anointing is just for them to cast out devils. They have not yet prayed for other authority or for other spiritual gifts to be injected or released into the anointing that is upon them. So because they could cast out devils, they thought that also mean they could get sick people healed, as many as get many sick people healed. Yeah, but when they tried praying for sick people, they did not see no miracle happened. The reason is because the anointing on them does not have the gifts of healings inside. Yeah, because they have not prayed for that gift. And they have not built faith to function in that gift. Yeah. So because they could feel the anointing and because God have used them to cast out devils. So they feel that means that they can just pray for sick people also and the sick people will be healed. No. So the fact that you can feel the anointing and the fact that the anointing have flowed through you to do certain things before doesn't mean that it has it has other solutions for other problems. You have to pray that God will put more solutions into the anointing He has placed on your life. Yeah, so that when you encounter people with the problems, that God has given you solutions for, then you'll be able to pray for them and then they will have solutions. I hope you understand. That's just by the way, but I feel like some of you will need this knowledge. Yeah, so we have defined spiritual gifts. But where we are going is angels are in all spiritual gifts. That is where we are going. And I said earlier that the human nature has a lot of weaknesses and limitations. And yet God wants to use this nature of humans that is so full of weaknesses and limitations. God wants to use the same vessel that is so full of weaknesses and limitations. God wants to use it for mighty things on earth. Then angels have to be involved. Angels will help. They will help make sure that the weaknesses and the limitations don't stop the manifestation of the spiritual gifts through us. So that is why angels are involved in spiritual gifts. Despite the fact that we already have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but angels have to be involved. Yeah, angels have to be involved. Yeah, because angels, they have that power to suppress those weaknesses that is in you that don't want the power of God to flow through you, that don't want the spiritual gifts to manifest through you. So angels have the power to suppress those weaknesses and to lift those limitations, like the limitations of doubt, limitations caused by fears, doubts, unbeliefs, limitations caused by environmental demons, environmental witchcraft. That is demons operating in your environment. Witchcraft operations going on in your environment. So angels have the power to make sure that those things don't affect or hinder the manifestation of spiritual gifts in your life. There are other things angels do miraculous functioning spiritual gifts, but I can't go into details because they are very complex. Yeah. They are very complex. Have you heard of people that they used to have transvisions where their spirit will come out of their body? Have you heard of people like that? That their spirits will come out of their bodies. And then their spirits will keep going to many realms, many spiritual realms, to do many things there, or to see revelations. Yeah, so that's, I call it deep trance. Yeah, that's what I call it. Like deep trance, where your spirit comes out of your body and then your spirit begin to enter into realms, spiritual realms, different kind of spiritual realms, to see many things going on there, to learn many things, and sometimes to even fight in those realms, to wage war in those realms, in those realms. So those kind of experiences, angels have to be involved. Yeah, because there's an angel that will take your spirit out, though not all your spirit will come out. yeah, so people are scared whenever I talk about God taking their spirit on a journey to do things. They thought they are going to die, but it's not, you're not going to die. And the reason why you're not going to die is because angels are involved. Now, because an angel will take your spirit out and leave some percentage of your spirit in your body. So, which means some fragments of your spirit are still inside your body, but large percentage is out. And then an angel will stay with that with your body. One angel will take your spirit on those journeys. Another angel will stay with your body to make sure that nothing happens to your body. Yeah, because if another angel is not going to stay with your body, you might actually not be able to enter the body back. You might just die like that. So another angel will stay with your body to protect it from demonic attacks. Yeah, and then you could go on journeys like that. You could go for days. Some people have gone like that for 7 days. And then when you are done, the angel will bring back your spirit into your body. Yeah, so that is a kind of spiritual gift too. Yeah. So there are a lot of ways angels get involved with spiritual gifts. Yeah. A lot of ways. Because of the weaknesses of our human nature. That is why they have to be involved. For us to be able to function in the gifts perfectly. For instance, like in this ministry, I give out a lot of prayer points. Yeah, angels are involved in those prayer points. Yeah, because those prayer points are not coming. Many of those prayer points that I give when I'm leading prayer sessions, they don't come from my head. Yeah, they don't come from my head. It's more like there's an angel pouring them into my making sure that I say out those prayer points the way they should be said. I don't know if I get my point. So they are prophetic prayers. Yeah. And it is necessary for speed. Yeah, because some churches, they do a lot of time-wasting services. They do programs where they waste a lot of time. And let me show you how they waste time. The pastor will come down from the pulpit, and then the pastor will go and meet a brother. I say, brother, this is what the Holy Ghost is telling me, that this and this and this is going on in your life. And then the brother will say, yes, yes, you're right. And then the Holy Ghost is telling me that this and this is what you should do to solve the problem. I say, yes, yes, thank you, Jesus. And then, after that, they move to another person. This is what I'm saying about your life. Now, all of those things, they waste time. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not God, or it's not the Spirit of God, that is, that is speaking through that man of God. Yeah, but how will you do that on, maybe, let's say we have 15,000 people in attendance. How are you going to do that to people one by one? You are giving them personal prophecies one by one, one by one, one by one. it doesn't work like that. So the best place to give personal prophecy is when you are dealing with the people. Let's say they come to visit you in your office, and then you are counseling them, and then the Holy Spirit reveals things to you, and then you tell them. Yeah, that's the best way to give personal prophecies. So, but the best way to minister in a way that everyone in the congregation will be blessed is to use advanced angelic methods, like to let the Lord lead you in a way that you give people prayer points. And in that prayer point, they can find prophecy inside. That is, in those prayer points, they could see things that talks about what they are going through personally. They could find it in the prayer points you give them. And not only that, they could also find faith in that prayer point. Yeah. Because of the way you presented the prayer point, you presented it in a way that God is able to solve it. Yeah, and then not only that, they will find solution in the same prayer point. I don't know if I get to my point. So there's no need to be pointing at this one to show the people that you can see vision and to show the people that you know to prophesy. Yeah, so you call this one how to give a message, call that one how. That's wasting of time, and you will go nowhere in fulfilling your ministry. Yeah. So that is why angels work with gifts like spiritual gifts like word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Yeah. And then a prophecy that is not specific to one person, but the prophecy that is specific to everyone. So that is why we need angels. Or maybe I should say that is why angels function in our spiritual gifts. So that they make our spiritual gifts manifest perfectly. Yeah. They make you speak in a way that nation, but everyone will be blessed. Yeah, so, but, I can't fully blame those that try to give personal privacy in a public platform, because to me, I see them as immature servants of God. They're not yet matured. Yeah. So those who try to give personal prophecy in the in a public service, I see them as immature servants of God, or I see them as being driven by pride. Yeah. So there are ways to minister, and everything you say is going to be prophetic, and everyone is going to be blessed. And you don't need to tell anyone that this is what I saw. Yeah. So many times I don't even say this is what I saw. Yeah. But if you're wise, you will pray whatever I tell you to pray. Yeah. If you're wise. Yeah, you will take the prayer points serious, and you'll pray them with the whole of your heart, because they are prophetic. They are coming from spiritual gifts. Yeah, so angels, they are involved in spiritual gifts in so many ways. All the fasting programs we have done in this ministry, they are from spiritual gifts. All those prayer points, they are from angels. They are from spiritual gifts. They are from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but I don't need to be putting it there that this is how I got this prayer point. Yeah, but they are all from the operations of spiritual gifts, yeah, in me. Yeah, so the same way God can do, the way these spiritual gifts function in us are not the same. Yeah, but how they are being how do I put it now? The way we, or let me say, the style might not be the same. That is how God used this man of God is not always the same with how he's going to use another person. Yeah, the style, the pattern are not the same, but the source is the same, and the angels are the same. Yeah, let me put it that way. Yeah, but the way they manifest through individuals might not be the same, but the source is the same. Yeah, the angels are the same. The grace is the same. Yeah, though the level of grace might be different from one another. We don't have the same measure of grace, but it's the same grace. Yeah, so angels are involved in spiritual gifts. So now, let me go through other verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us look at from verse 8 to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Yeah, so it's the same Spirit. Yeah, but he gives the gifts to us as he wills, depending on what he has called you to do, what God has called you to do. That determines the spiritual gifts that will be given to you. Yeah, as I've said earlier, the Holy Spirit brings in those angels that will work together with him to help you manifest your spiritual gifts, to help you function well in your spiritual gifts. Yeah, so it's the Holy Spirit that does that. Yeah, because I told you my experience when I started to hear the voice of angels. I told you that I thought it was the voice of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, before the angel now said he is not the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that is one of the angels. Yeah, so which means that the Holy Spirit is also a platform through which angels manifest to us and in our spiritual gifts. So the Holy Spirit creates that platform for angels to operate through our spiritual gifts. Yeah, and you don't have to know those angels, but they are there. Yeah, whether you see them or not, they are there. In as much as you're someone who is functioning in spiritual gifts, angels are working with you, whether you know it or not, whether you see it or not. They are functioning, they are working with you. Yeah, and I think I've also said it before that angels are just like us, only that they are more advanced. They are not so different from us. Yeah, they are just like anyone that has the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so they also have the Holy Spirit. And they also, by the Holy Spirit, have relationship with God personally, all of them. They have special relationship with God by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, only that they are highly advanced. And they have a lot of abilities and grace that is so useful to us here on earth. So that is why they come to also help us by the same Holy Spirit. Yeah, so they have the Holy Spirit just as we have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And they have personal personal relationship with God just as we have. Yeah, and then they have worked with God to the point that God could trust his power into their hands to do assignments for him on earth. Yeah, and that is why they come and do what they do in the earth. Yeah, because in the kingdom of God, people they are not conscious of themselves. They don't live for themselves. So that is why angels will not even come and be telling you his name. Be telling you how special he is. Yeah, and that is why many people don't even know that angels are working with them. Yeah, because they don't need to do that because they have not come in their own name. They have come in the name of the Lord. So they have come to glorify the Lord, not to glorify themselves. So that is why they will not even show themselves many times. They won't even make you see them. And they won't even introduce themselves. Yeah. But they are there walking with you and walking through you. Yeah. They are there. Yeah. And they have the same Holy Spirit that you have. Yeah. And they know when to call him and do their own job. Yeah. So if you don't have spiritual gifts, or maybe I should say, if you are not functioning in any spiritual gifts, develop a strong hunger in your heart and let that hunger drive you into the place of prayer and fasting, that God will release his gifts into your life. And that God will start using you to solve problems in your generation through those gifts. That God will use you to bring down revival into the earth through those gifts. Yeah, if you pray enough with strong hunger in your heart, heaven will release those gifts to you. And your desire is to glorify Jesus on earth and not to glorify yourself. Heaven will give you those gifts. In fact, some of you already have wonderful gifts. You just are not taking the gift serious. Or maybe I should say, you are not taking profiting God's kingdom serious. You're not taking winning souls serious. You're not taking helping people serious. That is why those gifts are just there, dormant, and inactive. May the Lord give you grace and understanding. Amen. Now, before Randolph, let me read some other scriptures that confirms that angels are in all spiritual gifts. Let me read Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 7. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Yeah, now what does that mean? that some people, they misinterpret this verse to think that this verse is talking about ministers of God, that is human ministers of God. But it's not. This verse is completely talking about angels. Both where it says angels are spirits and where it says a flame of fire. So it's saying that God makes his angels look like spirits and also makes his angels appear as flame of fire. Yeah. So like there was another place in the Bible where Jesus was talking to the people. He said, the words that I speak to you, he said, those words are spirit and they are life. Yeah, so, and then here it says, he maketh his angels. Spirits and his ministers. A flame of fire. So which means that his angels becomes spirits that helps him accomplish his mission on earth. So his angels become spirits. They become invisible beings. And they help God accomplish his missions on earth. Yeah, and I have also said it before, some time ago when I was teaching some prophetic students on angels. I told them that angels have the ability to enter into anything, that they can reduce themselves. They can reduce themselves in size and enter into the cells of your body. Yeah, they can enter into anything. Yeah, because they are spirits. Yeah, so if God wants to do something in your body, you can just send an angel. So the angel will enter into the cells in your body and carry out that mission. Yeah, because they are spirits. Yeah, and then if God wants to destroy the works of the devil, he will send his angels their appearance is fire. Yeah, so those angels will just go there and start burning those things. So the devil will not see how they look like. All that the devil will see is fire burning all of them in his kingdom, burning all his works and operations. All that the devil will see is fire, but that fire is an angel. Our sister said the fire that Moses saw that was burning the bush, and the bush was not consumed. Yeah, I believe that fire is also an angel. Yeah, so angel takes the form of different kinds of weapons that God uses to carry out his missions on earth. So when we pray and then we say fire of the Holy Ghost, or say fire of God, do this. that fire most times might not even be the fire of the Holy Ghost. So once the angel hear that you call his name fire, yeah, because we have angels that their names are fire. So once the angels hear that you mention fire, they go there to burn. Because that's what they know how to do, to burn everything that is not of God. Yeah, so sometimes when we say fire of the Holy Ghost, what appears is an angel. Yeah, and of course, sometimes it's the Holy Ghost that appeared there. But most times, it's angels that appear there. Yeah, so they walk hand in hand because the kingdom of God is one. So there's no separation. Yeah, the kingdom of God is one. So that is why most times, we don't even know who is the one doing things. We don't know if it's an angel. We don't even know if it's the Holy Ghost. Because everybody in the kingdom of God, they are united. They are not separated. Yeah, so angels can manifest even as the Holy Ghost when it comes to operations, doing operations for God. That doesn't mean they are taking the place of the Holy Ghost. But because they have been given the assignment to do that thing. So even if you call Holy Ghost, they will show up. Yeah, I don't know if you are getting my point. Just as if you call Jesus now, Jesus will just send an angel to go and rescue you. Yeah. Jesus might not show up there himself. Yeah, and it's not as if the angel is trying to take the place of Jesus. It's just that the angel has been given the assignment to do that work for Jesus. Just as you also, you have given the assignment to do what Jesus would have done if you were here. Yeah, so if Jesus wants to save somebody's soul, Jesus will find a way of connecting that person to you because he knows that when that person meets with you, you will tell that person about him. Just as when Jesus wanted to save Cornelius and all the members in his household, all the people in his household, the angel appeared to Cornelius that he should send for Peter. That he should send for Apostle Peter so that Peter will come and tell them about Jesus. So why can't the angel tell him about Jesus? No, because it's not his duty. Yeah. So and it was not Jesus that came, it was Peter that came. But in the realm of the spirit it's Jesus that came, even though it's Peter that showed up there, but it's Jesus. So angels can come and manifest. Even when you call Jesus and when you call the Holy Ghost, that is how united the kingdom of God is. There is no segregation, there is no competition, and nobody's trying to take the position of another. They all work together as one to achieve God's assignment. So that is it. Another scripture is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Revelation 22:16. Hi, Jesus. I've sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. So you can see here that all the revelations that Apostle John saw, which was recorded here from the first chapter of the book of Revelation. One of those revelations were given to an angel to go and show it to John. So all of those revelations, they were packaged into an angel. And the angel came and live and manifest them as they are. Yeah, and the angel made sure that John saw everything that he needed to see. And also made sure that he wrote down everything that he saw as they are. Yeah. So angels are involved in spiritual gifts. God can package revelations, visions, dreams, and give to an angel. And the angel will come and show it to you. Yeah. And when the angel comes, you might not actually see the angel. Because when the angel came I know I've taken your time, but I believe you're enjoying the teaching. Yeah, when the angel come to John in Revelation chapter 1, it was not the angel that John saw. I believe you know that. When the angel came, is it chapter 1? Yeah, chapter 1. Chapter 1. If you read verse 10. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. So, John did not see any angel. This was how the encounter started. Yeah. He just suddenly heard a voice. And it was not even, it was the voice of Jesus he heard. But all of those encounters were packaged into an angel. I don't know if you're getting my point. It's more like when something has been downloaded. Like the way you will download a movie into a flash drive and then you plug it into a computer to start playing. Yeah, so all of these things that John saw have been downloaded into an angel. More like a movie. Yeah. So when the angel just came to John, they just started playing. Yeah, I hope you understand. Yeah, they just started playing. Yeah, all the encounters, when he saw giant angels, when he saw the wrath of God being released. If you read all the book of Revelation, all of them, they were like downloaded into an angel. So when the angel came to John, all of them were playing out, including what John felt, the reactions of John. All of them has been pre-planned, how John reacted. When his eyes, when he began to see heaven opened, all of them had been pre-planned and they were all packaged inside the angel. Yeah, so God can package a revelation into an angel and send the angel to you. And when the angel comes to you, you might not see any angel. You just start seeing everything God has packaged inside that angel playing out. Yeah. Once the angel comes to you, you will absorb your spirit into the dimension he is, or the realm he is, which is the realm of heaven. Yeah, and then you start seeing everything God wants you to see. And then sometimes even the same angel, you will see him inside the vision that he has come to show you. I know what I'm saying looks very complex or deep, but these are some of the realities of the kingdom you belong. So God can do great things through his angels. I pray that the Lord will send his mighty angels into your life to do great things that will transform your life forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the last scripture I'm going to read before we round off. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, what I want to bring out here is that sometimes when we see lightnings, they are angels. When we see thunderings, when we hear voices, they are angels. Yeah, even when you hear voices that says that I am the Lord, I want you to do this. Sometimes those voices are angels. Yeah, when you see lightnings, thunderings, voices, they are angels. And then the seven spirits of God, that is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit has an appearance in the throne of God in heaven. Yeah. The Holy Spirit appears as lamps of fire in heaven. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit that is in you is also at the same time in heaven. Yeah, some other translation calls it the sevenfold spirit. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit has seven dimensions, but there's no time to break that down. Yeah, so which means heaven is in you. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then heaven is in you. Because the Holy Spirit is standing before the throne of God as lamps of fire. Lamps of fire. Let me look at how another translation puts it. Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. Yeah. A New Living Translation says, and in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. Yeah, seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold spirit of God. Yeah, that is the Holy Spirit. Is that sevenfold spirit of God? Yeah, and you have him inside of you, and he's there in heaven. So which means for you to have mighty angels working with you is so easy. Because the Holy Spirit is there in heaven to bring down those angels. Also to bring heaven down to earth is so easy because the Holy Spirit is in heaven just as is in us at the same time. So which makes heaven to be inside of us. Yeah, I pray that you receive wisdom to maximize your relationship with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Yeah, and there's a lot you can learn by the time I answer those questions through the help of God. Yeah, so learn to ask questions. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us how your angels are so involved in the demonstrations and manifestations of your spiritual gifts on earth. Thank you for showing us how, as many of us who are functioning in spiritual gifts, how we have fellowship with angels at the same time. Thank you for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask for as many here who will go back to think on these things and begin to pursue after spiritual gifts through prayers and fastings. I ask, oh Lord, that you show them mercy and release your spiritual gifts into their lives. And also release the anointing through which those gifts will function powerfully on earth. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that the Lord take away from your life every distraction that is not letting you have intimate relationship with His Holy Spirit. Let the Lord remove those distractions from your life now, in Jesus' name. I pray that the angels in charge of the fulfillment of your calling and destiny and purpose in life be released now into your life to open your eyes and to initiate you into the manifestation of your calling and purpose on earth. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. If you joined late, go and listen to the audio from the beginning. I mean the audio of this teaching. We have just